Carl, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Now, first off, what exactly is a gas sniffing pill as it has been so coined?
Yes, the term has been quite amusing to us. So essentially, it's an electronic capsule that you swallow and it measures the gases that are present in your gut.
Wow, okay, that sounds quite complicated. So how does this technology actually work?
So it uses all modern electronics and sensing capabilities to monitor the gases as it travels through your gastrointestinal tract. And one of the key parts of this is a gas permeable membrane at the front of the gas sensors, where it allows the gases that are there in the liquid to actually transfer across, but not allowing any of those harsh acids to enter the capsule.
Mm. And, you know, this seems to be kind of quite groundbreaking, I guess, but what methods do we currently have to detect, you know, gastro issues?
So in the gastrointestinal field, there's actually not that many tools that gastroenterologists have at hand. So there's obviously colonoscopies and endoscopies, and these are great, but they're quite invasive, and they can really only detect things that have physical anomalies, or if there's some bleeding or some wounds or abscesses that are present, then you can visually see them. But if there's no visual indicator there, then endoscopies and colonoscopies are not going to work.
Hmm.
There's also the breath test, and so breath tests actually measured gases that are produced within the gut. However, it's doing this in an indirect manner. So gases are produced in the gut by the microbial group as it breaks down the food that you give them. These gases are then absorbed into the bloodstream and diluted as it's circulated around the body. And then it's presented at the lungs, where it's also diluted in the breath.
Mm.
And so the breath test measures the same gases that we do, but it measures them in parts per million, where these sorts of concentrations mean that any physiological changes can actually mask what's happening. So that's why you find that breath tests have a really poor diagnosis rate, around 70% accuracy, coming up with a lot of false positives and false negatives.
Mm.
So what we've actually done is we've looked at that breath test and we've kind of said, well, you know, the fundamental problem here is that indirect technique. So, well, why don't we actually just measure these things where they're being produced? And we're seeing much higher concentrations, three to four orders of magnitude higher concentrations by measuring these things directly.
Mm. Now, why did you and your co-inventor pick such a project to undertake?
Well, that's a good question, actually. So we were approached about 7-8 years ago by a gastroenterologist who came to us with the breath test. And he asked us to make it a little bit more sensitive. He thought that the sensors in there could just be upgraded, and the breath test would be a fantastic tool. However, we actually started looking at that technology, and the sensors they were using are fantastic because they can measure quite accurately 5 to 10 parts per million. And so these are very, very small concentrations. So that's why we started to have to look at some different measurement techniques and going internally.
Wow, 7 to 8 years ago, that's a long time to be working on one project.
Yes, it is a long time. I mean, I can't say that all of that time we were just solely working on this project. We have a few different research projects on
the
go
at
once.
Now, you've just released the results of the first human trials and more trials to be set to be conducted. When will this technology be available to the wider community?
I mean, that's a very good question as well. I mean, this is research around humans, and so things tend to move pretty slowly.
Mm.
We've completed our phase one trials, and so that's a trial on safety and efficacy. And now we need to move into our phase two trials, which is increasing the numbers and it's going to be more expensive. So we have created a commercial entity. We have a company called Atmo Biosciences, where we are using this as a vehicle to get venture capitalist funding in to fund our phase two trials. And hopefully, if these trials go well, we can, and go through the regulatory pathway, we can get the product to the consumer within 2 to 3 years. Now, this is a very optimistic timeline, but this is what we're working towards.
Mm. Now, apart from cost, what are sort of the other kind of barriers that would prevent it being in that optimistic time frame?
Well, I suppose it's recruitment of participants, because we have to increase the numbers. Running the trials is not only costly, but it can be time-consuming. And also, you're looking at diseased and disordered patients, so you need to make sure that you have access to those patients.
Hmm. Well, Kyle, thank you so much for joining us on the program. We really appreciate you talking to us about the gas-sniffing pill.
No, thank you very much for having me.